This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. There you go. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I want to start out by telling you a story about almost 5.5 years ago. Life was going on, and life is good, and life has its routine. And then it got interrupted. By the way, some of you may have thought this communion was routine today, until Adonijah started speaking and you got interrupted. You see, I got to see you get interrupted listening to him. And he interrupted that routine, if you will, of communion. Well, I found out I was going to be a grandfather. In different circumstances, 5.5 years ago, than you may think are normal or acceptable. At the time, I wasn't pleased hearing the news. I'm not going to tell you what I said, because I'll be honest, it's embarrassing as a pastor and what I said. I was interrupted not once, but twice with the news I was going to be a grandfather. Now, just over 5 months ago, we were going through a different routine here at Prayer Faith. And it wasn't a routine, but it was something we'd done many times before. I stood right there. And I got interrupted. And I thought, who was this coming down the aisle there in the middle of our Veterans Appreciation Day? And it was my son coming home after almost a year of deployment. And I watched that video over and over and over and got interrupted that day. And I look at my hands. It went up in the air. When I recognized the interruption, it was my son returning home. I thought, Kish's reading. I'm staring at a spot on the wall trying not to cry. Failure, by the way. But I stared at that spot and I heard her cry and I thought, huh, well, that's my son and I'm trying to hold it together. And then I thought, someone's coming down the aisle in the midst of this. And it was Austin returning home. Got home the night before. Initially, I was frustrated by both disruptions. But in time, as I recognized what that meant to me in my life, they no longer were interruptions. And as you guys know, Atlas and Aurora, and I have another grandson, Brittany Brittany and Chris, all I could think of was Casey, another grandson, Casey, with my daughter and her husband. So I have three grandchildren, and I love all three of them. And I will tell you what, it's probably like many of you that are grandparents have said before or experienced. Man, they are a joy to have around, and it's a joy when you say bye-bye. See you next time. But what a blessing they are. Once I got myself out of the way, then I could let God work. And I remember doing the baby dedications. I was good, and I held it together till the end. Till I said, and in the church body, we have a responsibility to help these kids. And we do. But this is how God is. Life works this way. God acts, Christ appears in the midst of the interruptions. Now listen carefully. Depending on our position will depend on how we take that interruption. We're bothered by it. We're not bothered at all. During that same Sunday, Austin came up here in Atlas and Aurora. We sat them on the edge of the stage here. And I saw the horrified look of a mother's face as her child ran up in the middle of the aisle. And I said, it's okay. Got this. And I picked up Caleb and put him by his little friends. You see, he saw his friends up there and thought, uh-oh, I must have missed the message. I need to be up there with my friends. I didn't look at it as an interruption. Why? Because all of a sudden my life had changed. I was filled with joy. I think I told you, Spencer came up after service. He said, good job. I thought it was over. I said, it about was. I almost said, go home, church. We're done. We're done for the day. I'm going to spend it with my son. But I didn't. It gave me power and energy to press on. But that mother looked at it from a different perspective and said, uh-oh, there goes my son down the middle of the aisle towards church. I don't want our church to ever look at things as an interruption and say, oh, Lordy, oh, someone screamed and cried and a child's hollered out. Never an interruption here at Prayer of Faith. Always a blessing to hear life and to see life in this church. Now, today's message, pardon the interruption. Pardon the interruption. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is where we'll start. And we'll just be in the book of Mark in a couple different chapters there. But as you turn there, maybe you've had a day today and you've had interruptions already. Adam, I haven't had a day. I've had a week of interruptions. God interrupted my life. Maybe you've had a week, a month. Adam, the last year's been an interruption. Eric talked recently about his interruption in his life, losing his job of almost 30 years. And what he went through. And I went through that almost 3 years ago. Interruptions in our life, a loss of a job, income, benefits, health news, disease, loss of a loved one. These are all interruptions in our routine, in our life. And we look at those interruptions as though we're about to lose something rather than looking at those interruptions as an opportunity to gain. And I want you to listen carefully throughout today's message to find out, how will I gain in the midst of my interruption? Well, we're going to look and see how Jesus handled interruptions to his daily routine. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Hang on just a moment. I'll be doing this the whole message. Once is enough there. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And it says, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. Not even near the door. The house is packed out. And he preached the word to them. But it says, and then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He was clarifying who and what he was, by the way. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. The house is packed. No one can get in. The door is jammed with people. And here come four guys trying to interrupt the service. But they can't get in. What do you do if you can't get through the door? You climb up on the roof, take your paralytic friend up there. Could you imagine getting him up there? You cut through the roof and you start lowering the guy down. Now, I got to tell you, today's message is, pardon the interruption. Oh, yeah, come on, bring him down, bring him down. In the midst of Jesus preaching, and they lower this guy down. An interruption. Now turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, chapter 4. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Talking about Jesus. And other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Where was Jesus? It says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" An interruption. He's sleeping on a pillow in the midst of the storm. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Another interruption in Jesus' routine. His routine is, I preach, I eat, and by the way, sometimes I get some sleep in the stern of a boat. But they interrupted him. And they woke him. "Teacher, do you not care?" Don't you care that we're dying here? We're about to perish in the midst of this storm, and you're sleeping. Jesus didn't let that interruption get to him. Now, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And the same thing, we'll read that to the end of chapter 5. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. The man fell at Jesus' feet. And he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Okay. A great multitude came to see and hear and listen to Jesus. And then Jairus came up. And he interrupted him. And he said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and they thronged him. They were all around him. So now he's been interrupted from that, and he's going to see the little girl of Jairus. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. Snuck up behind him in the crowd, but had to get to him. And she touched his garment, for she said to herself, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Church, sometimes if we just stretched a little closer to Jesus, we might be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. You see, she felt something in her body. And she felt, I'm healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Remind you, the crowd followed and they thronged him. They were all around him. And he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, Lord, you see the multitude thronging you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around and he saw her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Another interruption to his interruption. But look what happens next. In verse 35, another interruption. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? She's gone. He was too late. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but asleep. Now read what happened next. They ridiculed him. They sent for him. He spoke these things and they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by hand and he said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. There's several examples of Jesus being interrupted from his routine, his speaking, whatever it was, whether it's the woman at the well or whatever. By the way, Jesus was an interrupter himself. He interrupted things all the time. When he went into the synagogue and turned over the tables, he interrupted their routine. When he went to the tax collector, he interrupted his routine. When he called the fishermen, he said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He interrupted their life and changed it forever. Jesus was interrupted time and time again, but he didn't ignore them, scold them, dismiss them in these situations. What did he do? He affirmed their faith. He declared peace to them. He declared healing to them. He found opportunities to do things differently. You know, God works. I want you to hear me carefully on this, because a lot of times we make plans and schedules and itineraries. But God often works in and through these interruptions, works more in and through the interruptions than he does during our planned and scheduled times and activities with Him. We've got to open our minds to that. We've got to open our hearts to that. I heard a pastor on the radio the other day when I was driving home from work. And he said they had the right heart, but their mind wasn't right because they had wrong information. We have to make sure that we have right information. And it comes out of this. It comes out of this, church. This is the information that we need to fill our mind with. He'll break your plans, your schedules, your itineraries, and listen carefully. He'll break all those up time and time again. Why, God, do you interrupt me? And here's His answer. To realign you with a greater purpose. He interrupts our lives to align us with a greater purpose. God, how can I be your ambassador? You see, you said, I am Christ's ambassador. How can I be your ambassador to an outside world that is looking for hope, peace, joy, love? Year round, not just at Christmas season, but year round. How can I be your ambassador to an outside world that is looking for those things? The challenge is we've got to look inside. We have to look inside. And I want you to ask yourself, when did Jesus' presence in the world first interrupt you? Think about it. When did Jesus' presence in the world first interrupt you in your life? That awe and wonderment, the indescribable peace and joy and excitement and fire and energy that you had after you began a relationship with Him. We sang about it earlier. That feeling of, I want more. And I want more today, Jesus, than I had yesterday. You see, I want more. Maybe today you need that light and that life back. Then what interruption do you need? What interruption do you need? I want you to ponder this. And if you're here with someone, I want you to ask them to remind you. And you remind them. What would it look like in the next 24 to 72 hours? Listen carefully. What would it look like in the next 24 to 72 hours if you allowed Jesus to interrupt your routine? What would it look like? And then ask yourself this question, or answer this. I was interrupted by Jesus when, and you fill in the blank. I was interrupted by Jesus when, boom, 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 whatever it is. And I want you to look for opportunities for Jesus to move. Remember, the next time you're interrupted, God acts. And Christ appears in the interruptions. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the interruptions in our life. And God, I pray that You help remind us what those are for. Why they happen. God, I gave examples of interruptions in my own life. And God, what a blessing. What a blessing those interruptions have been. Once I got myself out of the way. God, I want us to ask ourselves, what would it look like in the next 24 to 72 hours if we allowed you to interrupt our routine? If we allowed you to have first place in our life and in our routine. God, help us understand the opportunities that lie ahead. In the interruptions. God, I want to remember those times when I first met you. And the burning I had, just like the disciples when they met Jesus after his resurrection. They said, did you not feel the burning in your heart? God set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. Today, I want more of you, God. And I want to pray this over you. If today you may need to recommit your life to Christ, you may need to step up and serve this church or kingdom work in some manner. Today you may say, God, I've had an interruption and I want to turn it over to you. And I want you to work in the midst of my interruption. And I want you to show me how, God. If that's you, I just want you to come forward today and allow us to pray over you. So as we stand and sing today, don't be in the same place, the same routine. We sit, we listen to a prayer, we sing a song, we dismiss. I want you to decide today, do I need an interruption today? Do I need to come forward for an interruption today? In Jesus' name, amen.